compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, spiritual faculty, then the spiritual zeal, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Guan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to pick one of your chanting book. Turn to page one of your chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Amesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada sikha padang samadhiyami. Surame raya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surame raya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Okay, now you chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina ติโลกาติปังสัมบุตังปูจายามิตโมนุตังกันดาสัมบรายุทเทนะโดเปนะหังสุกังหินะปูจายะปูจานิยังทังปูจาปาจานะมุตเตมังวันนากันดากุโนเปทังเอตังกสุมาสันตตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเชโหตุโมคังปุปังเมลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะรัตติกันหาตุโมตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาทุมุตมัง Now let us make our aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering.Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure, clear, cool water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool waterLead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue.Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujem. Dhammang Pujem. Sanghang Pujem.Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. So just relax body and mind. Then immediately, for those who already know how to meditate, you can start your meditation. For those who still need to train their mind, please go ahead. You can use whatever skillful means that can help you develop the training of the mind. For those whose spiritual faculty is already developed, you straight away can relax body and mind and get into a meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Your sati should be there, very stable. Then, for those who need to stabilize this silent mind, or the meditative mind, or mindfulness, you can do whatever that can help you stabilize it. It can be an object of meditation or whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. Then after that, allow the mind to just settle down on its own, silent, peaceful, and just aware. The four support for awareness-based meditation, always remember, the first support is relax. Relax into all mind state. Whatever that arises, relax into it. Then finally, maintain awareness. So these two support is very important. Then you can maintain the awareness and stabilize it. That's why you will become 24-hour awareness or mindfulness. Then finally, when you reach the paucity stage of mind, tranquility or stillness of mind, when there is no more movement, you just silence everything and trust your nature to do, no more thought, no more thinking, no more movement, just silence everything and stay around the heart area, just relax, maintain that silence and that awareness. Then it will develop the meditation on its own. Because through that sati, you can investigate whatever that arises within your form and mind. That's what Dhamma Vichaya is all about. Then the form and mind, through the awareness, will understand a lot of things. You will understand clearly who you are, what you are, what is this form and mind all about, how they arise, the thought process, the dependent origination, the dwelling. Then you also come to experience all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught. You can see within your own form and mind the five spiritual faculty when they are developed, the seven factors of enlightenment. For those who still have the mental hindrance, you will also see them. Then when the evil roots arise, you will also see them. Then you will understand clearly what is greed, hatred, and delusion. Then later, what is non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. All these are the beautiful mind state. Then you can also understand the Four Noble Truths very clearly. How dependent on ignorance, avijja, you start to create mental activity, sankhara. So one thing to know, one thing to understand, you arise the thought process. This is the cause of sankhara, the stirring of the mind, the activity that arise and move. And when you start to think, you make contact with the mind as an organ. That's why upon contact, consciousness come to be. So this is how avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. So when vijnanam arises, it's just the pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. The content of consciousness has not gone in. Then when you input the content, that's why viññāṇaṁ paccayanna namarūpaṁ, the five aggregates of form and mind, the mental aggregates of form and mind, means the pure viññāṇaṁ with its content goes in. And this is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, the mental five aggregates. Then dependent on this namarūp, or they call form and mind, you need the sense basis. That's why sense basis must be there, otherwise it cannot arise. Then dependent on sense basis, there must be contact. Yeah. Then upon contact, the content of consciousness that went in, one of them is feeling. Then when there is delusion, feeling will become craving, attachment, clinging, grasping. That's why feeling will condition craving, craving will condition grasping. Yeah? Then grasping will condition becoming, becoming will condition birth. Hence arise the whole mess of suffering. So this is what dependent origination is all about. It can happen within every moment of your mental consciousness when it arises, when you live your daily life. So you don't have a stable mindfulness, you don't have the understanding of this paticca-samuppada, you cannot cope, you cannot deal. So you will be entangled. And this is how living beings get themselves entangled. And this is how suffering comes to be. Okay, I will now let you continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 25 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly. Slowly and mindfully come out of meditation. Okay. We will do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammang munirajasa Sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vicacarana sampanno Sukato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipasiko opanaiko pachatang veditatbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadirang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay. You all can be then tonight, before we start the sutta, there's a 3 sheets of notes, I think. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. This is based on the Charya Pitaka, the sharing last week, which I promised. To ask Padmasuri to help photostat. So you can keep this copy, it's for you. You read through, then you can listen to last Tuesday's sharing, then you can follow and understand. This is regarding the 24 Buddha, Chronicles of the 24 Buddha. Then there are 4 more, total 28. Then plus the future Buddha is Maitreya Buddha. Total 29, I think. Yeah, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, yeah, 29. So total 29. Okay. Then tonight, maybe I will go through you all the WhatsApp that I sent out. Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, page 33, 34, and 35. So you need to look at the notes. You turn to your WhatsApp, then you can follow. Anyway, I will read it out to you all. This sharing is very good because there's a part on the Buddha's first words after his enlightenment. He always said this: seeking but not finding the house builder, I traveled through the countless birth. So this is Dhammapada verse 153 and 154. So now I will read to you. Okay, we will start from page 33, the first we go to the top paragraph. Then I reply in such a way that she started to understand. Then she said, okay, I will have faith in what you have shared with me, and I will develop the requisite 5 spiritual faculties to cultivate accordingly. Then hopefully I will develop the understanding. Because initially this lady from Singapore, she got a lot of questions. All these questions come from the thought. Then later on I wrote to her, I say, please understand, the Dhamma is not about using your thought to rationalize and ask all these questions. It doesn't help you. You have to develop some form of cultivation, then only you can understand. So don't try to know, have faith. Then be sincere, just cultivate, persevere, diligently cultivate. Then when the Dhamma can be understood, all your questions will be self-answered. At first she can't understand. But 1 year later, she had the understanding. That's why this was her reply. I will have faith in what you have shared with me, and I will develop the requisite 5 spiritual faculty. Because I said, this is what you are lacking. That's why you cannot meditate. You don't have the spiritual faculty. Hence, the mental hindrance are active. Then the meditation cannot take effect, because without the 5 spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. then for you to really progress, you need to develop the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties, especially sati. So this was how it goes. I don't know what happened to the mic tonight. The connection is like it's not the day one, I think, not the connection. It's this one is, I think, something wrong with this mic, the wire. Anyway, I will read on. Where is the cordless mic? Oh, yeah. Maybe I use that one first. Cordless mic also down. No. Testing. Okay. I even told her the moment she understands, all these questions will be self-answered. The question would cease to be. She was very happy that I answered her question that way. She showed sign that she has started cultivating and developing the faith. What she wrote later on was so different from what she had written a year ago. Then now she writes this. Please allow me to clarify. Bracket in a very good disguised way. Close bracket. Besides Buddha and Bodhisattva, does it apply to anyone else? I equate anyone else to form a mind as mentioned in your second paragraph. Then bracket, my comment. She has started to understand already. Close bracket. Then she said, one can be earnestly cultivating for many lives and get connected to the spiritual nature and continue to become enlightened. Take for example an arahant. Then my comment in bracket. You see, the question was phrased very well. Close bracket. Then her second question was, going beyond form and mind after Gautama or Sakyamuni Buddha's parinibbana, can I say that he is the spiritual nature which is unconditioned? Then open bracket, my comment. There is still a he, in inverted comma, the spiritual nature, which is the unconditioned. Because the unconditioned is not a being, not a person, not something that you can hold on to. That's why sabbe dhamma anatta. Then she continued, will he ever exist in form and mind again? That is a very good question, right? I will be most appreciative if you could kindly enlighten me. Then I can go on and continue cultivating with some peace of mind. This question has gone long unanswered and in some way bothering me. Then I replied to her. Since she was so sincere, I replied to her. I said, at this point of time, don't try to know and ask too many questions, because the more important focus is to cultivate. Then when you realize or awaken, only then can you slowly start to develop the understanding of all this. Regarding your first question, yes, it also applies to anyone who has earnestly cultivated over many lifetimes, especially those who had already developed some form of stable wisdom before, like all those great beings, the bodhisattvas. Regarding your second question, try not to get involved, where it's a very controversial topic. According to most interpretation of the text, based on what the Buddha had said after his enlightenment. So this is recorded in the Theravada text. Immediately after his enlightenment, the Buddha's first word after his enlightenment was, it's also in our chanting book, I think somewhere in our chanting book. So you listen to this one. This one is very, very beautiful and very important. Seeking but not finding the house builder, I travel through the rounds of countless rebirth. Oh, how painful is birth over and over again. House builder, you have now been seen. You shall not build the house again, for thy rafter had been shattered and thy ridgepole demolished. My mind has now attained the unconditioned, the unformed Nibbana, and reached the end of all craving. So this is a very powerful statement. So because of this statement, a lot of Theravada practitioners, they conclude this way. That's why I wrote to her. I say, many will conclude that it is last birth, based on his present, on their present understanding. But the actual understanding is very different, rather complex, and demands a lot of wisdom to understand. The Buddha's nature eternally exists because it is part of the Triple Gem, and its vows has become a part of nature's law. And for those who know how to how to connect and develop affinity with it, they will know how to benefit from it. That's why Sakyamuni asks you to take refuge and develop affinity with the Triple Gem. Hope this helped. But she is very smart, because after that, she wrote another email and she said, thank you very much again, Virtue. Apologize. I didn't know question 2 was a controversial one. I will infer that the Buddha was referring to not being born unenlightened again. See? This one, at least, she has some improvement. Hence, no condition arising from a mind via craving born of delusion anymore. Then I say she is now wiser, because she now understands the unconditioned aspect, which is, according to her now, she knows the unconditioned aspect is not eliminated. Hence, manifestation in form and mind, independent of the builder, can still occur. It means without craving and without delusion. The form and mind can still come. She said, I think only, maybe an unreliable thinking mode here. She's still not very sure. Then I told her, yes, this is correct. Can you follow this understanding that I try to explain to her? What is your understanding when you heard the words of the Buddha immediately after his enlightenment? Seeking but not finding the house builder, I travel through the rounds of countless rebirth. Oh, how painful is birth over and over again. House builder, you have now been seen. You shall not build the house again. Your rafter has been shattered and thy ridgepole demolished. My mind has now attained the unconditioned Nibbana and reached the end of all suffering. That's why it is mentioned here, like, very clearly, this is his last birth. No more rebirth. So did the Buddha lie? Did the Buddha lie? The Buddha didn't lie. He spoke the truth. That is his last birth, that form of mind, that segmented life that he come. After his parinibbana, he got no more rebirth. You understand? But he can come back with another form of mind, not like a normal being that need delusion or ignorant to condition rebirth consciousness, he don't need that. He can come back with the true mind, which is love and compassion, without craving, without delusion, without ignorance. So that is the part that many people don't understand. That's why this lady also knew that he can come back in another form of mind. Then I read on next page, you will understand. Then she said, third paragraph, page 34. Then she said, the Buddha's first word after enlightenment were this: seeking but not finding the house builder, I travel through the countless birth. She repeated Dhammapada verse 153 and 154. She also managed to find this wording in the Dhammapada verse. Then she said, yes, I shall now focus on my cultivation from now on and fully understand when I had the wisdom to do so. May I have the condition to seriously cultivate the five spiritual faculty and clearly see the house builder, to fully understand the ultimate truth. In that sense, she is very smart because she requested for this. She said, please give me your blessing, Brother Teo, and thank you. Then I replied to her. I said, dear sister, I rejoice with your new understanding and resolve to focus on your cultivation as from now. And surely my nature will give you the blessing. What you need to be successful are just three things: faith, sincerity, and diligence or perseverance. The same three advice by and with metta always. Then after that, there's another partner. Then there was another Kayanamita, this is Sister Ellen, I remember, who wrote to me early on October 19, 2014. She said, today's triple celebration marked a significant milestone relating to you and the Kayanamitas. It's most inspiring. And that day is our gathering of Kayanamita. 19 October 2014 was our annual Kayanamitas gathering. So it also coincides with the celebration of my birthday. Then it is also an occasion for joy. After that, she continued and wrote this. When I struck the grand jackpot by meeting a Dhamma teacher like you, I was pleasantly surprised that it came with a great bonus too. The ready-made, sincere, and rather caring group of Kayanamita. So you all should rejoice. She can feel you all and appreciate so much. He said, the ready-made, sincere, and rather caring group of Kayanamita, all obtained without any effort on my part. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Ayu, Wano, Sukang, Palang. And may all your good and noble wishes come true. I know you do not have much time to read the attached sutra before your trip to Anandagiri on the 23rd October 2014. And after that, you will be off to Ermesan spiritual trip on the 2nd of November 2014. There is no urgency, and please do take your time. My questions are in the blue box at the end of the attached file. Sankara Upapati Sutta, the Sutta on Reappearance by Aspiration. Then I continue. I haven't shared this sutta with you all before, but lately I shared at the Thursday class. It's a very good sutta that talks about vows and aspiration. It is called Sankara Upapati Sutta. You can vow and make aspiration to be reborn in any rhyme you want to be. The Buddha actually taught the monk how this can be done. I will start this sutta in the year 2015, next Tuesday onward. Remind me to share this sutta with you. Somehow it was forgotten. Then I replied to her. I said, dear sister, I rejoice your sincere gratitude and joy below. regarding the Sankara Upapati Sutta, it's a very good sutta. And the Buddha did teach the monk at that time as to how they can make use of their faith, their virtue, their merits, their cultivation and wisdom to make aspiration for whatever birth that they might want to take or tend towards liberation of mind and to realize Nibbana upon the dissolution of this five aggregate of form and mind. Just like what I have been teaching you all this while. You can invoke power of merits and the power of wholesomeness born of your faith, virtue, merits and your cultivation and wisdom or your understanding, and then you make aspiration for causes and conditions for rebirth in any rhyme you want to, and even to become enlightened. It can bring about the aspired result. Then I told her, your question is quite similar to the lady from Singapore who asked earlier, which I had forwarded to you for sharing too. Do read the email again to develop a clearer understanding of the topic. Yeah. Then regarding your question about Bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood and how they can reappear through vows, aspiration and karma, the answer is yes. They can reappear via their respective five aggregates of form and mind through their vows and aspiration, make after understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. A bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood can reappear through their vows and aspiration, but not through normal karma via rebirth consciousness born of ignorance, because karma is related to ignorance and the karmic nature. And as arahant or bodhisattva, they have no more ignorance, hence no more rebirth consciousness to condition their rebirth. But when they are bodhisattva, it means they must have already made those four basic vows of the bodhisattva just before they realize the arahantship. Then those vows can arise the causes and conditions for them to come back with a pure mind via love and compassion born of the first basic vow. Hence, no need for a karmic rebirth. So this is how bodhisattva come back. So a lot of Theravada tradition, they don't know about this thing because in the sutta, it's hardly mentioned. The Buddha only mentioned in the sutta how he became a Sammasambuddha Buddha after perfecting the 10 perfections. But nothing was mentioned in between how he do it and all those things. So this part only the Mahayana understand because they have a lot of bodhisattvas and Buddhas who has gone through this cultivation. That's why the Mahayana has the teaching. That's why the bodhisattva way come from the Mahayana teaching. Then I continue. I say every life they come, they will connect unless their form and mind dissolve too early. Even if that is the case, it will still know how to cease. Because I can remember how at the age of 7 or 8, my consciousness came out. And before the consciousness came out, I was fully aware how it went through that cessation. At that time, I still didn't know how to meditate. I didn't even know what the Dhamma was. But my nature knew how to cease that mind. I could feel the craving force binding the consciousness to the body dissipating first before the random of consciousness comes out. Although nobody taught me about sati or mindfulness, but strangely, I knew exactly what was happening inside. The awareness was naturally there and there was absolutely no fear, nothing. That time I was only about 7 to 8 years old. Yeah, I don't know anything. But yet, this form and mind know how to die. See? Even, let's say, like I mentioned earlier on, every life they come, the bodhisattva, they will connect unless their form and mind dissolve too early. You understand? Means this form and mind somehow get into problem. Then you cannot have this form and mind to continue your cultivation. So that segmented life is gone. That's why I say you ask for Kuan Yin's nature's protection is to protect this form and mind. Because your pure, eternal nature, no need protection. And I said, that one never die. That one is unborn. But this form and mind need protection. So even if this form and mind, prematurely something happened before it connect, it also know how to die. Because I went through. That's why I know. So I mentioned here, even if that is the case, it will still know how to cease. Because I can still remember how at the age of 7 and 8, I went through that death process. That's how I come to understand all this. Because as I grew up, as the condition unfold, and as I start to develop the cultivation, the search, at the age of 17, then after I move, after Kuan Yin's message with the Triple Gem in 1986, I cultivate non-stop, continuously for 3 years, fully aware, daily mindfulness and all those things. Then the condition all just happened. The teacher come, the book come, everything come. Then when it understood all this, then it reflect back. Then I knew it's for me to understand this life, this segmented life, so that this teaching can be shared with the world, so that people can understand what this is. That's why I always say you must know how to die before you die. Otherwise, you cannot understand all this. Otherwise, it remains a speculative theory. You're not sure. Okay, I go on. Normally, if the mundane mind is there, it is totally like lost. Because before you as a normal living being die, you actually lost your awareness first. Then karma takes over. That's why they don't know what is happening. Sometimes they say, in Hokkien, Lao Huan Xiong. That is very simply... they simply say things. And like they are not themselves anymore. They are no longer in their usual awareness or conscious state. For karma has taken over. For most of these beings, if they are heedless, if they have delusion before death, then their karmic subconscious mind will take over. Then karma will decide what happened next. So this first question she asked, I have already answered. Then the second question she asked was, can a Buddha after Parinibbana reappear anywhere via another Nimanakaya? What do you think? Yeah? Can a? A lot of people don't understand. They say, Sakyamuni Buddha said, his last birth. House builder, I have seen thee. You shall build no more house. So you believe that is his last birth. He is not wrong. You are not wrong, but you cannot understand the deep meaning. Last birth means that segmented form and mind is the last birth. No more rebirth after that. Finish. Parinibbana. Cease. But if he wants to come, he can come. That's why I read to you, then you understand. The answer is yes and no. Depending on the Buddha's nature, the understanding and decision or choice, the Nimanakaya is the karmically conditioned form and mind for that segment of their life, or what they call the functional body that perform the function of whatever being that they choose to come with. After Parinibbana, that form and mind of the Buddha will not undergo rebirth immediately, unlike a normal Puttajana or being, because there is no more ignorance or delusion to condition the next rebirth consciousness. So the choice is upon their nature. So it doesn't mean they have to come immediately. That's why in the Mahayana teaching there is one saying, Liao Liao Jian Xing Chang Zhu. How many of you can understand this Mandarin saying? Jian Xing. Jian Xing is to realize your true nature. And Liao Liao Jian Xing means you clearly realize that true nature. Chang Zhu means you can stay there very long. You can take a rest. your nature can take a rest. You don't have to come back so early. So Liao Liao Jian Xing means with clarity, you connect and realize the true mind, the true nature. Then the silent mind can go into cessation, which is Nibbana. Then when that happens, that form and mind will understand. When it come out of it, the form and mind is no longer deluded. That is what Nibbana is all about. It will go into cessation. This will complete all the email sharing. So I will stop here. Yeah, you can rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu. If you want to understand more about the Bodhisattva way, you should get hold of the book when it come out. It's a very, very important book, very important understanding. Then last house dana at Brother Sears' house, I read the first 20 over pages, which was already very good. You should actually wait for the, before the end of this month, the book will be out. I should finish the proofreading by this, hopefully tomorrow or Thursday. Then you can, I already amended, you don't have to do anything. I will send you the file. Two weeks? Oh, okay. Oh, he needs so long. Oh, that one very fast. That one very fast. The checking for the second round is very fast. The second round, I only need to go page by page. Yeah, as long as the page tally and the one tally, I will know it's correct already. The second round checking, one day is more than enough. Sometimes half a day I can finish. So no problem. Now might we see how it goes. If there's a variation of a few days or a week, it's okay. So if I confirm this Thursday, means by 20th, 20th, then you straight away send it to him, print out the thing and send it to him. Or soft copy, okay. I will send to Brother Teo. Then you go through your format. Your format is very good. That format come out very beautiful. The printing all come out very nice. Then only you send to him, but copy to me. I also have to check the soft copy. Make sure the soft copy is okay. Then let him print out. Then we will send it for printing. Okay, now I will explain the thing in detail to you. That's why just now Alicia asked me, Brother, you want me to help you rub off the what they call form and mind, the physical body, the physical form and the mind or the consciousness, or the so-called human being. I said no need, because when I need to use it, I no need to draw. Okay, you look at the whiteboard. Okay. So this is what the five aggregate of form and mind is, the first aspect as a human being. First aspect. So this is the five aggregates. Of form and mind. The second aspect is the mental, mental five aggregate. Second aspect. This one I think by now you all should be familiar, is the five mental aggregates of form and mind. You see, this is our segmented form and mind that come, like this birth. Your segmented form and mind, which you call the human being. Yeah? It's what you are now. But this one is not the real you, understand? Because this one is karmically conditioned into this world. The reason being, the physical body is made of an element. It will go the way of nature. That's why it's dependent originating. It's not real, not you. How can this element be you? When consciousness separate from the form, they do autopsy. There is no feeling. There is no perception, nothing. Then even the mind that is trapped inside, this consciousness, this is the karmic consciousness. When you are born into this world, you need rebirth consciousness. And this rebirth consciousness that take conception as a baby or a fetus, they will slowly from there evolve into what we call a very complex consciousness. Because as you grew up, you start to accumulate the conditioning and other things. Your views, your opinion, your condition. So your bundle of memory with its views, opinion, and conditioning, tradition, everything mold your consciousness. So that one become your, you can call it adult consciousness. And that one is many layer because of your whatever accumulated phobia, fear, insecurity, defilement, anxiety, whatever that has gone in. So this is the one that the Buddha need you to understand. When you meditate, you have to look at this. Well, this is what he called consciousness and its content. So this second aspect, which is the five mental aggregate of form and mind, this is consciousness and its content, or what they call your thought. Consciousness and its content. Content. So together, this one becomes the thought. That's why you create a lot of thought. So this is thought consciousness. And this one, the Buddha say, there are also five aggregate inside. Because the four aggregate of mind is feeling, perception, activity of mind, mental states, mental intention or whatever. Then these three form the content. Then the last one is the consciousness, which is the vessel or the receptacle that carries the thing. So consciousness, when it's pure without content, is pure awareness. You understand? Once the content go in, then it is no longer pure awareness. It becomes a thought. That's why the direct seeing, the silent mind, the meditative mind, or paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, is the pure awareness without the content. That's why there is no knowing, no word, no concept, nothing. Yeah. So this is the one that you have to meditate. Then the moment the content went in, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, this will stir the mind and cause the mind to react and develop all the delusion, the attachment, the craving, the clinging, the grasping. And this is the one that gives rise to thought suffering. Unless you have wisdom, then this thought becomes pure thought, right thought. No more delusion. But before you are enlightened, this thought is always wrong thought. Always wrong thought. Maybe right according to you. According to your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. Yeah. But as long as you are unenlightened, this one is always wrong thought. Unless you have the understanding that you straighten your view, then some form of right thought can arise. Otherwise, it's always wrong thought. So what happened is, this is dependent originating. Because the content of consciousness is what you put in. And what you put in depends on your understanding, your views, your opinion, and your understanding. So before you are enlightened, this content of consciousness always has evil root, has delusion within, greed, hatred, and delusion. And that's why this one continuously take rebirth. So when you die, the last thought moment will condition rebirth consciousness, because avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance, arises mental activity. So that last thought moment will be your rebirth consciousness. And this one, every form of mind that has not realized the cessation or the enlightenment, which is the arahantship and beyond, they will always have to come back. You know what is have to come back? You got no choice. You have to come. That's why I always say, you can choose to come, or you have to come. Choose to come means you are bodhisattva. Means when this form and mind separate, means at the moment of death. Death is a separation of this form and mind. At the moment of death, what happened? Yeah? These two separate. But before it separate, there's a last thought moment. Let's say you have wisdom, you already arahant and beyond. There is no more rebirth consciousness. You're no more ignorant. Then what happened? This form and mind cease. It just cease, finish. Then this physical body will go the way of nature. Yeah, it's not you. Then this consciousness just cease. But there is a random, they call random, not random, random, the balance of consciousness. And that one can come out. That one can come out. Yeah, it can come out. Yeah. So, but that one is no longer who you think you are. Yeah, that is the balance of consciousness. Yeah. They call it random. Random. Yeah. So this is how the form and mind disperse. But when it is around, there is this karmic force. They call it the supportive karma, karmic force. Or supportive karma. So when this one is around, it will continue to pump your heart. Give it nourishment. That's why you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. So this one is from your karmic nature. The karmic force will come and support you. Then this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, will be animated into a life figure. That's why you exist. But this is the five aggregate, not you. But this one is subject to karma, the Buddha said. You have to take care of this one. You cannot simply do things. You cannot be heedless. The moment you are heedless, the heedless are as if dead. Then law of karma take over. That's why cultivation is to understand this five aggregate of form and mind clearly, and understand that this five aggregate of form and mind, they are dependent originating, condition arising, not you. So what you need to understand is to silence this mind, so that you can see clearly that this consciousness and its content is not the real one. This one is dependent originating. All the mental states, the sankhara that arise, they are not there before that. They come after. That's why they are dependent originating, like your anger, your fear, your craving, your desire, whatever. Before you have fear, anger, hatred, you don't have. But because of certain things that condition you and cause your mind to stir, then they arise. Then after a while, it will disappear. That's why all these five aggregates of form and mind, the mental aggregate, they are impermanent. If you hold on to it, lead to suffering. Then because they are impermanent, they are not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So that is the teaching. So when you understand this, when you meditate, you just silence this mundane mind, or you train this mundane mind until it's in sati, until it's just aware. Then stabilize it until it becomes the silent mind, pasati, tranquility of mind still. So when this one is silent, it can see things as they are. It can understand what is happening in your for my mind. Because you got your senses, 5 physical and 1 mental. Then upon contact, what happened? The mindfulness awareness inside will see, will understand. Then the moment it understand, it will develop wisdom. So this one will connect back to your nature, true nature or spiritual nature. This is how you connect. When you completely silent, through the silence or silent mind, when there is no thought. When there is no thought, you will realize this true nature or your true mind, which is just that awareness, that pure awareness. And this is the one that can understand and awaken without thought. This one cannot come out and live life. This one is not a being, not an entity. This is your nature. This is never born. It was there all the time. But because you cling on to the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conscious mind, the dependent originating mind, this is not your true mind. That's why you fail to understand it. That's why you get yourself entangled with the creation that comes about through delusion. That's why the phenomenal world of delusion, phenomenal world of consciousness, these are the illusionary world. That's why it's an illusion. And you get yourself entangled there, and you lost sight of your true mind, your true nature. That's why you are seldom aware, seldom peaceful. You seldom have a silent mind with clarity to be with the moment, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Living being cannot, unless they have awakened. So this is what meditation is about. You have to silence this. That's why without mindfulness, without a spiritual faculty, this mind cannot silence. Then you have to stabilize that mindfulness until it becomes power, balance, very stable. The Buddha used the word ever mindful. That's why Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme born free Nibbana. So what you need is you have to cultivate these two. A very stable sati, so that your mind is ever mindful. It's throughout the day with that type of stability of mindfulness, ever mindful, it's always mindful. Then, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, means cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And then you become heedful. Then you will realize the Supreme Born Free Nibbana. You will realize enlightenment. So when this nature develops the understanding through the silent mind, through the meditation, through the awakening, when it penetrates the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, then this wisdom will stay. This wisdom will stay inside here because this form and mind is connected to this wisdom. Do you understand? Because the true mind, the true nature, after it awakens, it has the wisdom. And this wisdom is connected to the form and mind. That's why this form and mind, after that, you can say, is no longer deluded, no longer ignorant. And this is the one that you can say enlightened. You can say this is the Buddha, this is the Bodhisattva, or this is the Arahant. But this is not you. This is your karmically conditioned form of mind, dependent originating, your segmented life. So this one follow the way of nature. But the funny thing about this cultivation is, without this form of mind, you cannot come. Without this form of mind, you cannot connect to your nature. That is the strange part about this cultivation. That's why it's not so straightforward. Then what happened is, this wisdom, once this form and mind gone, this wisdom goes away. Finish. That's why every life you come, your segmented life, you have to connect again. It doesn't mean you are born wise. No such thing. Even Huining is not born wise. He is born without the mundane mind. But he needs to connect back stabilize that nature, then awaken again, then develop the understanding to inherit what he has cultivated and perfected again. But he will understand very fast. That's why not until you connect, your spiritual nature cannot come back to you. So this one, the spiritual nature, you cannot inherit anything. The inheritance can only come after it connects. That's why you don't know how to meditate, to connect to the true mind, the silent mind. You can never inherit anything. You can never recall anything. So if you don't have the understanding and you choose, not to take all those bodhisattva vow, and you think every life you come, you can be so lucky like now with the sasana, then you better go and find out yourself. Because like I explained in the bodhisattva way, I think at the house dana there I explained. When you are born into this world, even this life with the sasana, you have to go through the three phases of life, isn't it? You're born as a kid, then you got to go to school. During this period, I can tell you, hardly anybody cultivate. You agree or not? Unless you have your past, special. Then after that, you come out to work. You think you got time to cultivate a spiritual thing. You look for money first, understand? You look for financial freedom to own a house, get married, have children, enjoy life. You where got time for cultivation? Then when you are about to die, the third stage, getting old, you got a lot of problems, and then only you can look for religion. Understand? To buy insurance so that when you die with something. That's why you hardly have time to cultivate. Then even let's say you decide to cultivate, like this life, you can check. How early did you start? I consider very early. 1971, I started when I was in Form 4, Form 5. Now nobody asked me to cultivate. This nature just have the vow and it understand, it just search. That's all. And it just happened by itself. So by the time you start cultivating, let's say at the age of 40 you start, do you think you have a lot of time? If let's say you don't have your past, you can be going around 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years at a retreat and vipassana and still don't find the truth. You understand? Even let's say you're very lucky like this life, you find, like Alicia, very lucky. First shot, blue eye already. He never go anywhere. Immediately come here because of the past affinity and karma. And yet, it take a while. At least 2-3 years. Then after it connect, then only you start to inherit. Starts to develop the understanding of it. Then this has to stabilize. And unless your past is very strong, all this, the understanding is very limited. You cannot have much understanding. Because when I look back, you must know what they cultivate, what they do. If it's thought-based, even for aeons they can cultivate, they are not going to even touch this true nature. They are still at the thought level. This citta, very active. They hardly know what this thing is. And even this civilization, not many can realize the silent. Even when they have the silent, they got fear. They thought they die. But no more thought, they say. Understand? A lot of people told me, they meditate until so quiet, they thought they die. They got fear, they come out. I think my brother, they all are back. So this part, after I explain, now I will explain the Buddha Parinibbana. after the Buddha's parinibbana, he straight away realized nibbana and the mind cease. No more. Finish. Yeah. But what happened is, like the Bodhisattva, they have their vows. Because he has perfected it. He has walked the Bodhisattva way. And he even teach the sutta on how to develop the aspiration for reappearance in anywhere, in any realm in this universe. That's why they know how to come back. Understand or not? And this lady finally understood after I explained through a few emails over the years. He said, now I understand. The Nibbana Kaya means the functional body. It can come back. This one can come back without the rebirth consciousness. Means they will not be reborn through delusion. Their birth is through the pure awareness, the pure consciousness with the love and compassion within. So this is the only difference where the Bodhisattva and the Buddha, they can create through their vow, through their understanding of the nature's law, a form and mind to come without having to undergo rebirth consciousness, without having to have delusion or ignorance in the immediate life before. Yeah. And the timing of all those things depend on their understanding, their vow, their nature. And they can come anytime. There's a Kuan Yin, you chant the, what they call, Great Compassionate Mantra. How many manifestations does she has? Yeah? 80 plus. So that is just the famous 80 plus manifestation. That's why they combine everything and make it into the Great Compassionate Mantra. Tapezo. Yeah. Then just now, Paramasri showed me the what? Gumenping. In English, it's called what is the English word for it? Oh, yeah. So it seems there is a sutta where the Mahayana chant, universal door of consciousness. So I just flick through. So roughly, it is trying to explain to you how great Kuan Yin's nature is. You read through, you will know. You can go into the sutta. He said, no matter what state of mind you are, you can be very stupid, full of fear, full of delusion and all things. But if you have faith in Kuan Yin, you really chant the four how, then you pay your respect, then you make that affinity, then it will dissolve all this and help you to cultivate. Yeah. And even all the rhyme, you know, that you are in, or even the hell rhyme or what, he can take manifestation there to teach you the Dhamma. That's why you have to seek her protection, guidance, yeah, and blessing. And this tree, if you don't seek, you don't get, because her nature can provide. And she is so compassionate. Any type of being, you go and read, no matter how lousy your karma is, he can help. That nature can help. So this is to show it to you how powerful Kuan Yin's nature is and how compassionate her nature is. And he has become part of nature's law because of her perfection, her parami. She has this merits full and complete. Then when she invoked all this power of merits, it has become so powerful, so effective, it can go into the nature's law. That's why Kuan Yin need not be everywhere to help you. It is part of nature's law. He incorporate all this into his vow until the vow become nature's law. That's why you have faith. You just make offering, pay respect, chant the name. A lot of things will happen. Yeah. Whatever danger or what or fear that you go through, it will have the ability to help you overcome and dissolve them. But it is not going to like help you to cultivate. No such thing. He cannot cultivate for you. He can only help you overcome all these obstacles, all these karmic hindrance. But you must have faith, sincere faith, have faith in her nature. Then develop all. I just read a few. Come, pass to me. Then maybe you all can understand. Huh? Okay, so the beginning of the sutta, the wondrous Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, the universal door of Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva, the Bodhisattva who contemplate the sound of the world. So at that time, in inexhaustible intention, Bodhisattva rose from his seat, uncovered his right shoulder, placed his palm together, and facing the Buddha said, "World honored one, for what reason is the Bodhisattva Kuan Yin called Kuan Si Ying?" Yeah. Kuan Si Ying is a Mandarin word for contemplating the voice or sound. Then the Buddha told inexhaustible intention Bodhisattva, "Good man, if any of the limitless hundreds of thousands of myriad of kotis of living beings who are undergoing all kinds of suffering hear of Kuan Si Ying Bodhisattva and recite his name single-mindedly, Kuan Si Ying Bodhisattva will immediately hear their voice and come to help them or rescue them." Whether you believe or you don't believe is not important. But this is her vow. This is her parami, her perfection. And for those who know her nature, if you are a Bodhisattva, you are a cultivator of the way, you will definitely have great affinity with her nature. Otherwise, this way is near to impossible to walk or realize. Because her protection of your form and mind is very, very important. And this one, this nature of mind, already knew this long time ago. That this life alone, if without Kuan Yin's nature, at least three times, my form and mind would have gone before I even had the condition to connect in 1989. There were three incidents, very clear, because the sign not only came later on, I saw the answer all came. Then I read on, "If a person who upholds the name of Kuan Si Ying Bodhisattva enters a great fire, the fire will not burn him, all because of this Bodhisattva's awesome vows. If a person being tossed about in the great sea or ocean call out to the Bodhisattva's name, he will find a shallow place." That one I don't know. Shallow place I don't know. But he will be saved, it's true. Because Xuan Hua get into this problem. You know Master Xuan Hua? How many of you all have read his biography? You remember how he Yuan Chan, how he went over to the state? Oh, no wonder you don't know. He came out of China, then he was in Hong Kong, then there were a lot of typhoon, everything. So when he was there, he tried to build temple. Then when he was there chanting or something, it seemed that according to him, the typhoon were controllable, not so severe. Then after that, he met, I think it came in a form of like a dream to her, to his understanding. If I'm not wrong, it's Hui Ning. Hui Ning passed him the message and told him, "You have to go to the West in America. The Dhamma will have to take root there." So after he received that message, he determined to go over there. Then he went over there by boat. By ship. He was attacked. Because when he was on land, he is very powerful. Very, very powerful. He even, at that time, he vowed to have the 6 spiritual penetration, including the 5 psychic. Life after life, you know, in his vow. But later on, before he died, I saw it was taken out. And when he made that vow, a lot of people went and see him to seek his help. Then later on, he realized this is against karma. He cannot do it because it will shorten his life and cause a lot of problem to him. Then he decided not to do. But there was an incident according to him in his biography. There is I don't know whether he was a butcher or what, I don't know. This person, the mother was very sick. He went to Xuan Monastery, bow outside, kneel outside, request for Xuan Hua to help. Xuan Hua just tell him, no, you are wasting your time, I'm not going to help. And you know what happened? He went back and took a butcher's knife. You know. He threatened to kill himself outside the monastery there. Then Xuan Hua got no choice. He said, okay, don't do it, I will go with you. Then he went and helped the mother. But because this case, the mother, according to Xuan Hua, it was a karmic related thing. There were two yakas, I think, very fierce one, want to take revenge. Want to torment the mother and all those things during the past life something. But because of Xuan Hua, they couldn't do it. So they gave up. Then the mother recovered. And after that, you know what happened? It seems these two non-human or yakas, they got so much anger, you know, and hatred. They vowed to take revenge. You know. So they went and see their higher one, the teacher, the Sifu. And the Sifu said, on land, we cannot fight him. Even I also cannot fight him. I think the Sifu must be Naga or the one, sea creature. Then he said, we have to wait. Then it seems the Sifu knew he will have to go on sea one day. So when he was in the midst of the journey in the ocean, they attacked him. They really attacked him. And Xuan Hua, when he is in the sea, he psychic cannot use. He can use, but because once they cause a shipwreck, you no matter what psychic, you also will be drowned when he's in the ocean. So what happened was, he knew they were after him, and he couldn't fight them. You know how he escaped? How he escaped? He chanted Kuan Yin's vow. He chanted with full faith. Then miraculously, the storm, everything that going to cause the shipwreck and all those things, suddenly subside. And he safely arrived in the U.S. It's mentioned in his biography. That's why even great beings like Xuan Hua, he understand the nature of Kuan Yin. He didn't chant Amitabha. He just chant Kuan Yin. And all this, you have to understand, because Kuan Yin's nature is fantastic. And I read on, you will know. If the hundreds of thousands of Myrai Koti or beings who seek gold, silver, lapis, or the seven treasure of the universe, and so forth, enter the great sea, an evil wind may toss their boat into the territory of the Raksasa ghosts, means the yakas and all those things. But if among them there is even one person who call out the name of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, they will all be safe from the difficulty of that disaster or Raksasa. For this reason, he is called Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Kuan Yin. Then further, if a person who is about to harm, to be harmed, calls out the same name of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the knife, the staff of the attack will break into pieces and he will survive. Then, if yakas or raksasa enough to feel 3,000 great thousands world system come to torment a person, if they hear him call out the name of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, all these evil beings will not be able to stare at that person with their evil eye, how much the less to harm him. So all this shows how great Kuan Yin's nature is. Then there is also this later on about somebody very stupid one. Here is the one. If those who are very stupid constantly and reverently See, you must constantly and reverently recite the name of Kuan Sing Bodhisattva. They will be separated from stupidity. You can break their karmic obstruction. Understand? Yeah, that karmic negativity. That inexhaustible intention, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, has great awesome spiritual nature such as this and confer great benefits. Therefore, living beings should always be mindful of Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature. A woman who seeks son, bow and make offering to Kuan Yin. You want to have children, eh? They will give birth to blessed, virtuous and wise son. If they seek daughter, they will give birth. All this. That inexhaustible intention. There's a lot. Then, some more, in whatever rhyme, eh? I read to you. This one. If they must be saved by somebody in the body of whatever, it can be devas, or non-humans, or even the hell rhyme and all those things, or even as a lay person. Here he is the example. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a lay person, he will manifest in the body of a lay person and speaks Dhamma for them. If they must be saved by somebody in the body of a minister of state, he will manifest in the body of a minister of state and speak Dhamma for them. Then all the type of beings within the 31 plane and all the whatever manifestation. So even as a monk, bhikkhuni, wife or husband or what, if you have faith in Kuan Yin, he will take whatever form and they will share the Dhamma with you. So this is how powerful their nature is. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a heavenly dragon, Yakas, Gandhaba, Asura, Garuda, Kinana, Moharaka, human, non-human, and so forth, he will manifest in such a body and speaks Dhamma for them. If they must be saved by someone in the body of a Vajra Vaining spirit, he will manifest in the body of a Vajra Vaining spirit and speaks the Dhamma for them. So all these are trying to let you understand how unique a being Kuan Yin Bodhisattva is. So you must have faith in Kuan Yin. Of course, the other great beings too, they must. You must develop affinity with them.
Pass
the mic. Oh, wait, I have to use the other battery.
If we have to come in another form after when you die, when you are taken over by the supportive karma, you will come with whatever past cultivation that you have, good and bad or right and wrong.
Your last one moment, unless you are Bodhisattva.
So what happened to those past cultivation when you have the right cultivation or the wrong cultivation?
Okay, very good question, Sadhu. You see, what happened is, if you are still not a Bodhisattva, or a great being that has the understanding of this thing, when you die, you will not realize Nibbana. You will not cease. Understand? Then, if you have to come, you use the word you have to come, your past cultivation will not help you. It will be your inheritance. You understand? So it depends on how you die. You must know how to die. If before you die, you have this mindfulness, contemplative understanding of the Dhamma, then at the last thought moment, you are with the Dhamma. Then you will take rebirth in the realm where there is Dhamma. Understand? Then you can recollect your virtue. You have very little karmic negativity, then you can be reborn in the devas. But if you know how to make the aspiration for rebirth or reappearance in any of the rhyme, like Alara Udaka, they want that formless rhyme, they will go there. Then those who do jhana, they will go to the Brahma rhyme. So it depends on how you understand this mind. So you may have the cultivation, but you don't take the vow. You don't develop the understanding. If your understanding is not stable enough, your mindfulness is not stable enough, you don't know how to die. Then, like I mentioned, you become unconscious. You lose consciousness first. Then the karmic force will take over. Understand? Then it depends on your last thought moment. Well, this last thought moment is beyond your control already, where you don't have mindfulness. Then when it's beyond your control, what is happening is the thing that you have a lot of habitual tendency, like you always want to cheat people, deceive people, then you got a lot of greed, a lot of hatred, a lot of fear, then you will take birth according to that whatever manifestation. That's why your habitual tendency will surface. Like last time I used to recall this Auntie Tan, she Dana Queen. They call her Dana Queen. Yeah. She go everywhere, Katina. Ah, Yun Chan will know. Yeah? Auntie Tan. Ah, Mrs. Tan Teck Wei. Ah, she Dana Queen, isn't it? You remember? I think 15 years ago. Oh, 20 years ago, I think. She was supposed to die. You know? Then we all were told that she's very sick in the hospital. You know? Then we did a puja, don't know what, Bohi Puja, is it? At the Bohi Tree, that one. Yeah? We always do that after the Sunday session. So that day, I remember, I was there with a group on it. Then the nature was different because I knew she is very sincere and she did a lot of wholesomeness because she helped Ram Mahinda raise funds and helped many people. And they have a group of like Dhamma friends like that, but they all do their thing on. So she did a lot of wholesomeness. They raise money, although not much, but they help everywhere. They send the money everywhere. Then she used to go Katina. Then I felt something the day when I read it, this Metta and Bohi Puja. Then we chant the thing, then we read it. Then I felt something. I knew it is going to help her. Then the news came back. You know what happened at the hospital? Where she was about to die. Then all of a sudden, Lao Han Xiong, like I say, you know Hokkien? Yeah. You know what is Lao Han Xiong? Means you don't know who you are already. You simply talk already. You are not yourself anymore. You know what she said? She is going here, Katina, there, Katina. There was so much joy. Everywhere is only Katina. But she was not herself. And she came out of it after that. That's why this is her habitual tendency. Very strongly developed. Understand? So, your last thought moment, if you got no control, karma take over. And even the Tibetan Book of Death, you go and read. They got this small book. Because last time I got one teacher from Taiwan. He's also Mahayana one. He shared with us one sutta. Very good. This person, he used the sutta from I think Mahayana tradition, Hong Wen Liang. I don't know how you all know him or not. He is his teacher is a lay person, that very famous Nan Huai Jing. You heard of Nan Huai Jing? Nan Lao, they call him. Oh. He is his top most wise disciple. Nan Huai Jing loved him a lot. He is very special. He came and shared with us this sutta. Very good, the sutta. And he expounded the sutta very well. He's a lay person. He's a doctor. Dr. Hong Wen Liang. And you know what he said? I remember very clearly. He said, according to the Tibetan Book of Death, Tibetan Book of Death, when you die. He said, what happened is, when karmic take over, he said there will be two parts. Normally you got good and bad. Understand not? First is the one that haunt you one, is it?
a lot of fear, a lot of thunder, a lot of negativity that create a lot of fear in you, that one will come first, is it? Then you have cultivated some form of goodness or kindness or loving kindness or even metta or even sati or mindfulness, then this one will allow you to have the understanding to confront and overcome this. If you don't have this, if this is less, that is more, your rebirth will follow the negative one. Yeah. And this is what is written in the Tibetan Book of Death, according to him. And the sutta was a very good sutta. I met him in 1990 or 91. He came over to Malaysia. I think somebody invited him over. So there is a lot of this type of teaching. Then according to Xuanhua, he said, before you die, when you lose consciousness, this mind will take you in. Then it's like the whole thing show it to you what you have done this life. All the good and bad. Very fast you see them. Then it will tell you because you did this karma, you will have to take this birth. The demon will come first. Yeah.
You said the last top moment.
Yes.
If you have cultivated in this life, very wholesome cultivation, very right cultivation.
Yeah.
So therefore, whatever your past cultivation comes, it can only support you.
No. You have to understand, Joyce. All this, 10:30 already. All this is in your spiritual nature, understand? You have to inherit it after you connect, understand? But at the moment of death, if you have not developed the stability of mindfulness and the understanding, you don't know how to die. Then karmic take over. That's it. Finish. It will not be lost, the cultivation, understand? It's in your spiritual nature. But this life, after you die, immediately after you die, the last thought moment is unwholesome because you don't have control, understand? Then you will go into that rebirth. Maybe I give you this example, you will know. I don't know, this one somebody told me on. I went to Klang Gift Talk. I think Brother Tay told me. I think some of you who went with me, they know. Brother Tay and Brother Gan. Hey, that day you were not there. You heard in the talk. You know what happened? They went to this, Pa'au temple, I think. So they were told, you are not a samanera or a monk. You cannot stay in to listen to the dialogue between the monk and him, understand not? So you must at least become a samanera, then you can listen. So it seems some of them become samanera and they heard this story and they came out and they shared this story, but I heard one. He said, according to Bao, he was interviewing those monks, then they say they can see their past life. One of them say they saw their past life immediately before this was a bird. Then the second one, before this first one, was also a bird. Then it says, Pa'au told him, look further. Then he came to the understanding later on that 70 lives he was a bird. Then he found out the life before he was a bird, he was a Chinese monk in China, according to that story. And you know what happened? According to that story, he was a Chinese monk with psychic. He can levitate, he can go through whatever. He got psychic. He got a lot of psychic power. He used them. And he was a monk, a very good monk. Then what happened was, one day, when he was out with the psychic to get whatever he want, then he want to come back now. He lost his ability to perform psychic. Then you know what happened. At the moment he lost his ability to perform psychic, this part I add in one. I think he has fear. He has fear. They didn't mention he has fear. They just say he lost his psychic. Then at the moment when he lost his psychic, they say he saw an eagle. That last thought moment conditioned him to become a bird for 7D life. Mang no. Cultivate like anything. No. Last thought moment. What happened was, he lost his psychic and he has fear. You understand? Huh? And because of that fear, at the moment of fear, what is fear? Delusion. Whatever you perceive, last thought moment, you go. Yeah. Karma happily allow you in. Yeah. Come join us as a bird. 70. And another Mahayana Sutta, I finish this, you will understand. This one is regarding teach wrongly. This one is really in the Mahayana Sutta. I think one of the very famous monk in that sutta. He was delivering this sutta. Then there was a frog. There was a frog listening to his sutta. Then this frog, in the past, 500 lives he become a frog. He become a frog because the karma need him to be a frog so that he can listen to this monk. Because he teach the wrong dharma. He was very sincere. But he teach the wrong dharma. And because of that, he take birth as a frog. And because he is so sincere, he want to learn this teaching. For 500 lives, he has been listening to this correct dharma. Then after that, he knew already, no more rebirth as a frog already after that. Then he talked to this master. He said, do you know, I was a frog for 500 lives. And you know why I was a frog for 500 lives? Because I misunderstood the Dhamma. And I taught the wrong Dhamma. And he teach the wrong Dhamma to people. And because of his sincerity, he has this aspiration to understand the right Dhamma. That's why he was born as a frog for 500 lives in a monastery pond to listen to this type of Dhamma. And he awakened. See? It doesn't mean you got parami or... That's why I say you don't have the bodhisattva vow. I wish you good luck. Because that bodhisattva vow, after you plant the seed of bohi, you know what happened or not? This seed of bohi will nurture your understanding. And it will give rise to condition for you to have this understanding life after life, even without sasana. And you will know how to come, understand? And you will know how to die, and you will know how to connect, and you will know how to realize. That's why this is a very different cultivation. That's why this book has to come out, the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. And I didn't plan anything. The condition came by itself. I explained all this in this book, the four sharing. You go through yourself, you will come to understand what all this means. And it's meant to be. That's why this type of teaching, a lot of people still are like, who was it that I discussed with today? Was it you? Joyce? Or was it Alicia? These people got doubt. Want to take the vow also, they're not taking. He said, I take already, I cannot become arahant. You got this type of thinking, the thought. I already explained already. This comes from your thought. Because your concept of a self, sakkāyadiṭṭhi, is still so strong. I, if take the vow, cannot become arahant. You know why? Because Theravada say, arahant, no more rebirth. Understand? So if you become a bodhisattva, you want to come back, you cannot be arahant. That is their view. That's why they cannot understand all this, and they use their thought through selfishness, out of fear, they come out with this type of thought, thinking. Then they dare not think. Then someone to play safe. They say, I think better at least first stage of sainthood. Sure cannot fall already. Then only I take the vow. Got people think like that. No. No. You aspire to be sotapa, you know how to invoke power of merit and aspire, then it's okay. But if you desire, because you still have the mark of a self cultivating, a mark of a self, say this way is too long. Understand not? I cannot make it. Not for me. All the self view is there, understand not? Then what is going to happen? I think I want to renounce the vow,
is it?
Because they quote, Achan Man also renounced the vow to become Arahant. They want to follow Achan Man. A lot of people with this type of thinking, I tell you. Then they think they renounce the vow, then the mark of a self, they want to realize Arahantship. Then what did Achan Cha say? Don't try to become an Arahant. The moment you become Arahant, you are dead. Because that Arahant is not you. Understand? Don't be foolish. That form am I is never you. That form am I is just a form am I, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to cultivate and develop all this understanding. So use the Dhamma. Negate the self. Understand? If you look at the view of Arahant and, oh, Amimi, hey, I remember Amimi. If you look at the Arahant and the Bodhisattva as a being, with a self, you are dead. I tell you. They are not you. They are just a form and mind. Understand? The segmented life. There is no self. That's why you must read the Amaravati. The comment from the Bhikkhu Amaro is very good. Very balanced. And he even quote the Diamond Sutta to explain all this. How come the Theravada tradition cannot understand all this? You go and read. I send to you all, but I don't know how many of you read. Eh? The source of conflict and honesty. I send one is just an extract. You go for the detail one. All the Diamond Sutta thing is inside there. And as a Theravada monk, he understands this Diamond Sutta. He quote them, no? And he explained them, no? He said the conflict, the source of conflict come from this. Sakayaditi, self-delusion, not able to penetrate. Because the final understanding is the Dhamma, the teaching. He said, Theravada Mahayana, no different. It's from the same Dhamma, and you understand. But when you look at it from the self, the Arahant and the Bodhisattva as a being, then you argue, is it? That is the source of conflict. But they are not a being, understand not? They are just the karmically conditioned form and mind, segmented form and mind. Nothing more than that. He know you, he know me. Understand? Huh? But you always say, "Aiya, Arahant way easier." Understand? Huh? That one, aeons and aeons, where got time? I don't have the ability. Who is saying all this? It's the thought. Understand? The delusion, the self is still very strong. The atta is still very strong. The fear of not becoming an Arahant. Understand? This one will take time, not easy. You know, most people have this sakayaditi, self-delusion. That mundane mind that always come through the back door and tell you a lot of funny things. You read through this one. This one explains everything inside there. Yeah. So hopefully with this understanding, when the book come out, you can have a straightening of your view. Then you got nothing to lose, like I mentioned. What have you got to lose? Taking the four basic vows of a Bodhisattva, is it going to cause you harm? Make you worse? It is going to make you better, perfect yourself. And this is going to take you along and pave the way for you to understand the teaching and develop the cultivation beautifully through the understanding, so that you create all the affinity with all these great beings, and their vow will take you along. You only have to be sincere, have the faith, and do. That's it. Is it so difficult? And you got nothing to lose. It's no different from taking your precept. Except now, you put it as a four basic vow to do things more extensively. Understand? It is still the three set of pure precept. Avoid all evil. But you have to add in one part. You have to understand what constitutes evil. Then after that, cultivate all virtue and perfect them. the addition part is perfect them. Yes, your normal one is to avoid all evil, do good. But you never vow to perfect them. Then the third one is what? Purify your mind. Here he say, not only develop the wisdom to liberate, you have to penetrate all dharmas. Understand? Huh? All dharma though. Then develop the perfection of wisdom and vow to liberate living beings. That is the addition at the part, at the end. And these are beautiful vows. Understand now? It's like you take this precept so that you can strengthen your cultivation. It's not just about sainthood understanding. Because to teach, to share, you have to have this perfection. Then like the four basic vows. The second one is to endure and severe all suffering. If you don't vow to have this ability, how can you help other beings? Understand now? If you yourself cannot endure and severe all suffering, how can you help people to end suffering? True or not? So when you see this, then you realize the importance of this vow. Means I not only want to realize Nibbana and free this form of mind. But as long as there is a craving, this form of mind cannot free. So what is important is you must develop the wisdom and the understanding that this form of mind is not you. So that you can endure all this that need to be endured, like Sabba Asavak Sutta. There are Dhamma that you need to endure. There are Dhamma that you need to severe. So all this is according to the teaching. And yet you don't understand this basic vow, and you just, because of your greed for Arahantship, you just don't want to look at it. And you just say, I better play safe. There is nothing wrong with whatever choice you make, understand? No? But the understanding part is very important. The Dhamma must penetrate it, must realize it. And then after that, whatever your form and mind decide is up to the individual. Well, this is not what you think. He know you, he know me. It's just that nature. And that nature that has the wisdom and the understanding will not think in terms of self. There is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of a self to liberate living beings. No reality, no mark of even Dhamma or life. That's why the phenomenal world is an illusionary world, not what you think. Okay? We better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, sorry to have taken up extra 50 minutes. Okay, we do the sharing of merits, transfer merit, then we end. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itawata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya atidang hotu sukita hontunya tayo Idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena. Mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu. Yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.